This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They thought they'd get away with it until now. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
I think the prosecution did a great job of presenting reasonable doubt with their lack of evidence, or cohesive evidence. Let's talk about the defense of Richard Allen here as it led up to the closing arguments. What do you think were some of the strong points that they brought up, and what do you think were some of maybe the weaker arguments that were brought into this for what they were allowed to even bring up?
Well, the strongest point was the FBI analyst regarding the digital information, saying that actually there were headphones plugged into Libby's phone, I think for hours, until they were removed. That's going to be a big sticking point. And I think it was even asked, how could that happen without a human, you know, doing it? And basically, the analyst said, well, it really couldn't. So I think that's a big thing. However, of course, you know, looking into that, there is an argument that could be made that water causes a similar reaction, you know, for a phone to, register in this way. Could this FBI analyst have been fooled? All I know is that the FBI analysts that I've worked with, this is what they do every minute of their day. Mm-hmm. For years on end, and they are good at it. That this is their bailiwick. And so I would be surprised if they were fooled, but there's some confusion, of course, because this phone purportedly never moved. It was underneath Libby. So how could headphones have been plugged in? So I think they did a good job with that. And I don't think the prosecution came back and really tried to disprove that.
I don't know what you could disprove. I mean, that's the interesting thing. And you actually had two analysts on that phone. The first one didn't even quite understand how the coding worked until the second analyst came in and said, this shows headphones were plugged in. That was kind of a late discovery. Again, another kind of weird thing in this case where it's like, well, they didn't know what some of the code meant, so they just kind of left it. And then someone else discovers it later on. There's just a lot of things in this that don't seem to add up, and they're just obvious things of, if you don't know, figure it out, ask. You had how many years to try and put some of these pieces together? It just makes you wonder. I mean, these are the things we're catching. How much was overlooked that never even made the light of day outside of the offices?
No, I agree. There's just so much. And I thought, if I recall correctly, there were 71 other hairs that were never analyzed. And, you know, they finally did do the analysis on the hair around the pinky finger that ended up being, I believe, the sister's hair. So at least, they did some analysis of that. But what about all the other analysis? I mean, you're looking at 7.5 years or so of investigation right in that realm. And this is all we've got. And then also, I was disappointed, I will say, that the defense closed so early. I felt like I was wanting more from them. Mm-hmm. And then I was very disappointed that they did not do a motion to have the gun removed from evidence and that bullet so they could be examined by the tool marks expert and the metallist. Because they both might have been, one was allowed, one wasn't, but it's not very moving, I don't think, when you're looking at a picture. You want them to do the analysis. And I think it came down to money. Judge Gold put them on the tightest money bar I have ever seen. You look at Brian Koberger, he's had 7 expert witnesses, and I've estimated around 30,000, 10 to 30,000 per witness. Mm-hmm. And the money and they haven't even started trial. We're just doing hearings. And yet they don't have, I think they awarded, it was so nominal what they awarded them to help in their defense, to get experts. Experts are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
They're between, that type of an expert is between $150 to $350 an hour. Other experts are between $250 and $800 an hour. Mm-hmm. And it takes hours to take a gun, go to a range, do all the shooting, or not a range, a laboratory, do all the shooting that's necessary to try to recreate those tool marks, the extractor and ejector marks. And the fact also that it was never retested is just so dropping the ball. And it's a man's life. Yep. Listen, if he's guilty, we all want him to rot. But I have such big misgivings on this case.
Do you think less was more, though? I mean, yes, certainly budget. I totally understand that. But I also wonder if the defense just felt like the prosecution just gave so much reasonable doubt. Let's not introduce anything else that could possibly in some way, shape or form backfire or sway somebody. Do you think they just felt like they had them where they wanted them for their opinion of having reasonable doubt on Richard Allen? And that's where they just decided to leave it.
Well, I think that's actually a very good point for this reason. Number one, I think everybody was surprised. The jurors' faces, at least from the people in the courtroom reporting, said they had a look of surprise and shock on their faces, mm-hmm. right, that they rested. Second of all, I think it caught the prosecution kind of saying, whoa, mm-hmm. you know, in other words, they thought they were going to have more time to prepare rebuttal and so on and so forth. And I think that might be why they didn't do a proper rebuttal on the digital information regarding the headphones. So to your point, was it purposeful? Maybe so. Maybe they said, listen, we're just going to stop right here mm-hmm. and leave it on this headphone issue, which yeah. probably had all those jurors shaking their heads. And yeah. and so it might be a wise move, but Tony, I really do fear that he's going to be convicted.
Well, I mean, I feel like he has the get a new trial free card pretty well in his back pocket, maybe even a stack of them by now. Obviously, it'll take more time. It'll certainly interrupt more of his life if he is innocent. And certainly even worse, the families who just still have to sit there and wait and wonder, is this our guy? Or are we going to keep going down this road if there's a mistrial, for example, after someone that we really don't have a lot of solid evidence against, but there's a lot of other people here out in the ether that seem to have not been very thoroughly investigated. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.